at John. So if you would turn your Bibles, this is a very familiar passage to most of you. This morning is looking at speaking toward, you can trust him. And when I say you can trust him, you can trust our Heavenly Father. So, John 6, 1. After this, Jesus went away to the other side of the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias. And a large crowd was following him because he saw the signs that he was doing on the sick. Jesus went up on the mountain, and there he sat down with his disciples. Now the Passover, the feast of the Jews, was at hand. Lifting up his eyes then and seeing that a large crowd was coming toward him, Jesus said to Philip, "Where are we to buy bread so that these people may eat?" He said this to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered, 200 denarii would not buy enough bread for each of them to get a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, "There's a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are they for so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." Now there was much grass in the place, so the men sat down, about 5,000 in number. Jesus then took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed them to those who were seated. So also the fish, as much as they wanted. And when they had eaten their fill, he told his disciples, "Gather up the leftover fragments, that nothing may be lost." So they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with fragments from the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten. When the people saw the sign that he had done, they said, "This is indeed the prophet who is come to the world." Perceiving then that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, Jesus withdrew again to the mountains by himself. When evening came, his disciples went down to the sea, got into the boat, and started across the Sea of Capernaum. It was now dark, and Jesus had not yet come to them. The sea became rough because a storm wind was blowing. But when they had rowed by about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and coming near the boat, and they were frightened. But Jesus said to them, "It is I. Do not be afraid." Then they were glad to take him into the boat, and immediately the boat was at the land at which they were going. Heavenly Father, we indeed invite you into this sanctuary this morning. It's without a doubt we know that you're here. I pray that words shared this morning are from your word, are shared in a way that it'll affect the lives of those who hear it. That we wouldn't just be hearers of the word, but we'd be doers of the word. Be with me this morning. In your name I pray. Amen. Proverbs 3:5 says, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding." Trust the Lord in what? What do we trust him in? What does it mean to trust in the Lord? Yes, with all our heart, indeed. And when should we trust the Lord? Sometimes? All the time? Amen? Why should we trust in the Lord? Whole. Why should we? How do we trust in the Lord? The whole trust thing. Even when I when I connect my phone to my computer, it says when I plug it in, should you trust this computer? If we trust someone, we have complete confidence in them. We believe that they're honest in their word, that they're good. They will do, and they'll be there for you. Their character is reputable. Some would say that they're legit. Do you know anyone who's totally reputable, that you don't have to worry about anything, that you know that your name is safe in their mouth 24/7? Do the people with who you associate meet that criteria? Can you and I, can we say that those standards apply to us? That we're reputable, that we're trustworthy. We say that we are. We want to be. But the truth of the matter is, not everybody is trustworthy. And we may think that we are the only ones that are trustworthy. Only I am trustworthy. How many times has someone come up and said to you, "Hey, let me share something with you. Now, it's a secret." I know anybody that's been in ministry, you know, I hear that all the time. Now, Pastor, I say this in confidence, you know, and I think that's a tough chore. Don't tell anybody, it's a secret. But when you tell somebody, it's no longer a secret. Newsflash. When we spread information that is confidential, we have forfeited our trust. And I suspect many of you never want to do that either. I know that I've been in conversation with people who have been trustworthy with information, and then I find out about it, but then they're like, "Well, how did you find out?" "I didn't tell you." I said, "No, you didn't tell me." You were trustworthy. That's something that seems to be we're in short supply of, to have that kind of trust with people. All of us, I believe, we're born in that sinful nature. We're born that way. We're all in that category. No person is immune. We're all in that same boat. The only person that is trustworthy is God the Father, God the Son, and the Spirit, God, the Holy Spirit, all three in one. Our scripture reading this morning indicates that Jesus had many followers. We're told that in that second verse there, that large crowds were following. These people were following him because they had great trust in what he was doing. They were following him because, I think maybe because they were seeing all these great signs. These people saw the lame be able to walk again. They were witnessing people who were blind who could now see. They even saw him in Cana turn water into wine. That might have been a big draw. Did they really trust Jesus, or were they just merely curious seekers? I mean, did they trust him? They saw the things he was doing, but were they just curious? I believe some were curious, but I also believe that some were convinced he was a prophet. There are people today that believe that Jesus was a person, but they don't believe that he was God. They don't believe in the Trinity. They don't believe in Father, Son, and Holy Spirit being all one. Some believe, I would say many believe, that they have total control of their lives. And to a certain extent, that's right. In the decision-making, in your choices, you are in control. Sometimes your choices will benefit your desires. Sometimes your choices are made at the expense of others. Ouch. At times, sometimes, not all times, married couples will have issues with one another on the trust issue. Some of when they first married, they're like, oh, I trust you with all my heart. And please, I know that you trust each other. You should always. Eugene and Sam being married just 1 week already. Hey, you're still hanging out. So they still trust each other. But there are times in relationships and marriages where things just start to go off canter. Where there's an email that wasn't supposed to be read, a text that was sent for only specific eyes. Create suspicion. And the issue of trust enters the picture. It's hard to trust after that trust has been broken. Jesus, his disciples trusted him. They obeyed him. We talked about it a few weeks ago. He called them into service. He said, hey, I want you to be fishers of men. And they trusted him. They dropped everything they had. They trusted him. I don't know how many of us would do that today. We're like, Father, I trust you so much, I'm dropping everything I have here and I'm following you. But they did. They placed their trust in them. And then one day, and we read this in John, in the third verse there, Jesus went up onto the mountain and the disciples and he sat down. And he knew that, you know, every once in a while, you have to take a break. You have to relax. He talked to his disciples and saw this great multitude of people coming. And he said, they're coming because they know of what's going on. They're seeing the signs. They're seeing these miracles. And in verse 5, he says, Jesus asked Philip, he says in verse 5, where are we to buy this bread for so many people to eat? He sees these people, they're hungry. Where are we going to find this food for them to eat? And so why did Jesus ask Philip, of all the disciples? You know why he asked Philip? Because Philip was from around that area. I mean, if you're going to go somewhere and you have questions and you know someone's from around that area, say, hey, JR, you're from Fairbanks. You've been to Fairbanks. Where's the best restaurants to go to? Right? Or you're going to Hawaii, you know, or wherever you're going. You know somebody from there, and they can give you good information. And Philip was from there. And so Philip, he was like saying, okay, in his mind, okay, I know I'm from here, but bread, this much bread? And we're like 9 miles away from this source of bread. Now, I know 9 miles doesn't seem very far because we're used to being in a vehicle and we just travel, or and we're there like right that. But 9 miles on foot. foot, trying to bring enough bread for 5,000 people? That's crazy! That's what was going through Philip's mind. But Jesus, he said this to him, and it says that in verse 6, he said this to test him, for Jesus himself already knew what he was about to do. He knew what he was going to do. Jesus just wanted to strengthen Philip's faith. Can you imagine the look on Philip's face? It's like, come on, Jesus, really? That's a lot of bread. And then Philip, he just kind of like took this whole thing hook, line, and sinker. Like, oh, geez, what am I supposed to do? And then Philip answered, 200 denarii worth of bread. That's not enough. He says in verse 7, that's not enough, Jesus. And Philip was thinking worldly, kind of like the way we think when we run up against things that seem impossible. Like, there's no way, Jesus. That's what we say. In a worldly way, there's no way. This is insurmountable. You just don't know this mountain that I'm facing right now. I don't know, maybe think back a couple years when you're younger. Maybe some of us need to think back a couple more years when we were younger. Remember those times that you were going through some hard times? Those things seem, things that just like, there's no way. I've only got a couple rows of quarters. You're smiling because you've been there. I know you have. If you're honest with yourself, you've been there. How am I going to make these two rolls of quarters last? I've only got a quarter tank of gas. Maybe you're thinking, I'm sick. I can't afford to be sick. And you get that bill. You're like, how is this? How am I going to pay for this? Maybe some of you, I know that some of you here are old enough. Maybe children of the Great Depression, going through that conflict, World War II, Korea, Vietnam. At this present time, we're going through our own, another valley, the valley of COVID-19. And more deadly than that, the racial tensions that are just boiling up out of control. People are facing mountains of frustration and despair. Most are managing or not giving up. I'm not giving up. I pray that you're not giving up, because our God is not giving up. He's not giving up on us. He's not going to leave you hanging. It says all throughout his word. And in Hebrews 13:5, it says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Huh? If anything this morning, I want you to walk through these doors. When you walk through these doors, I want you to know that he will never leave you nor forsake you. Like the song we sang, he's in front of us, he's behind us, he's in you, that he's around you. That's 24/7 coverage. Nothing comes close to that. Nothing comes close to that. You might have 5Gs, all right, pinging. But Jesus just blows that all away. And it's never interrupted. We shouldn't be afraid. We shouldn't worry. We know that he will supply all of our needs. We need to continue to say, come, go to the Father and tell our Father how tell people how does it go? How big our God is instead of how big our problem is? Something like that. You know where I'm going, right? God is so much bigger than our problems. Psalms 37, 3 and 4 says, trust in the Lord and do good, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. Philip was facing a mountain and did not know how what he was going to do. It's impossible. And Jesus was testing him. And when we face mountains such like this, we too are being tested. Jesus knew what he was doing. And I believe now, I honestly believe that the more we are, the closer we are in a relationship with him, we're ready for those things that come from, like, out of nowhere. We're like, oh, geez, that's huge. And I'm a Christian, and I'm supposed to believe and trust him. Right? That's what you're saying. I say that. I'm supposed to trust him. And then when I say that, I say, I do trust him. And that's what we need to do. We need to say with all of our being that we trust him and mean it. I know this is happening. I know that I only have less than 30 days in my current place that I'm residing in, and I've got to find a new place. Father, you need to find a place for me to stay. That's not on me. And trust him. What's that song? Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Well, there's another disciple there, Andrew. He popped in, and he says in verse 9, there's a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are they for so many? Andrew comes on and says, like, I've got a plan, but, you know, there's some fish, there's some bread, but... And if Andrew would have just stopped with the boy is here with 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, he would have stopped right there. He would have shown the trust and confidence in Jesus Christ. But he says... But, how many times we do that? Jesus, I know you're part of the Red Sea, but, you know. Why do we do that? Jesus knows, our Father knows our every predicament. It's wonderful, however, when we look at Andrew, we forget to stop at that. When we get to that point, we continue that with that if and but, and it demonstrates to our Heavenly Father that, you know, do we really trust him when we put those buts and if in there? And even as a parent, and you say, I've got you, son. I've got your daughter, you know. Maybe it's on a bicycle or a bicycle, and they're learning to ride a bike, right? And you're like, you know, you cinch up the training wheels a little bit, so they got to use their balance. But you're there. You're saying, "Hey, I got you." And for their kid to say, "I don't know, Dad. I don't know." Dad's like, "Come on, I'm your dad. I'm not going to let you down." Our Heavenly Father is the same way. He said, come on, JR. I've got you, buddy. I know you have some insecurities about this and that. But you know, I got you. I would never let any harm befall you.
I would not do put you into a situation where you would be embarrassed. That's just not my DNA. So Jesus is there and he says, okay, everybody, in verse 10, he says, everybody sit down. Jesus was ready to strengthen the faith of his disciples and the people that were there in attendance. Basically, the disciples offered Jesus nothing, but a little lad presented what he had. Those five barley loaves and two fish, the boy placed it in the trust of Jesus. He put it in Jesus' hand. The kid, he was willing to give it up. And I don't, obviously, the kid didn't know what the big plan was. But he gave it freely. I wonder what would happen if we would do the same thing. If we'd give up the things that we hold so dearly and place them into the hands of Jesus and trust him. We must trust God and give him our all. He created us and he knows us. He knows our thoughts. He knows our actions. We can't hide anything from him, okay? You might be able to hide some things from other people, but you can't hide anything from him. He sees everything. Everything. I think sometimes we're like, we think that he doesn't see everything. And how he must think, what are they doing? Don't they know I can see them? What are they watching? What are they listening to? What activity are they engaged in? Don't they know I can see them? Come on. We must be willing to give and to trust in him, knowing that he is there for us. He's there to help us and to strengthen us in our faith, just like he did the disciples. There's a poem that's called Trust Him. Trust him when dark doubts assail thee. Trust him when thy strength is small. Trust him when to trust him simply seems the hardest thing of all. Trust him. He is ever faithful. Trust him, for his will is best. Trust him, for the heart of Jesus is the only place to rest. Trust him, then through cloud and sunshine, all thy cares upon him cast, till the storms of life are over, and the received the loaves and the fish, he looked to the heavens and he thanked his heavenly Father for providing those resources. And in that very moment, something very miraculous happened. He started handing out fish and bread. And people were like, oh man, this is good. And it's not like they just got like a Scooby snack worth of fish and bread. They got their fill. They were full. It's one thing that everybody got something, but they were full. And that, there was leftovers. You have to have faith in him. You have to trust him. Hebrews 11:1 says, faith in the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. I venture to say not one person in that crowd thought everybody was going to get something. They're probably looking over that group like, boy, I hope this year's enough for me. I hope there's some left over. Hope I get some. They had as much as they wanted. And in verse 12 in this text, it says, gather up the fragments and the remains so that nothing is lost. Nothing was to be wasted. Jesus fed over 5,000 people that day. He will provide for us. Jehovah Jireh, the provider. He will provide for you and I. There's a story that took place, in, a true story that took place back in the 30s. Annie Alexander tells a story about when she, her and her husband, she was a pastor's wife, and they were getting $10 a week. I know some of you are like, $10 a week, come on. No, $10 a week, that's all they had. They didn't have much left. They just had a little bit of bread. They had some bacon grease that was kind of rancid. That's all they had. But mom made something to happen like most moms can. And they ate that. They had it for lunch. And then they had a little bit left over for dinner. And then their little five-year-old daughter prayed a very earnest prayer. Something about the way children pray. It's from the heart. It's the truth. They don't ever have to make up stuff. They're real. They're authentic, right? And so this girl says, dear Jesus, help us to eat these biscuits or send us something else that's better. Amen. Come on. That's the truth right there. Help us to get through this, but send us something better. And then later on that evening, one of the men from the congregation who's a baker was on his route, and he, 7 miles out of his way, he came and he dropped off all these breads, all these bakery items. He bought rolls and buns and biscuits, wheat bread, white bread. It's like they had everything. And everybody was like, oh, look at all this food. Look at all this bread. Good bread. Not moldy bread. He said, I normally would just bring you this bread on Wednesday or prayer meeting night, but I felt that I needed to bring it tonight. I hope you can use it. The faith of a little child was strong as he trusted Jesus that he would provide. And only if we, too, would have that kind of faith, that kind of child faith. That, well, Jesus said he would do that. Jesus said he would do that, so why don't you believe him? Oh, and adults, we do this. We're like, oh, honey, you just don't know. Jesus does big things. That's a small thing. We don't want to bother Jesus with that. No. Jesus said, I'll take care of everything. If you trust in me, if you believe in me, if you're one of my kids, trust in me, have faith in me. In verse 14, Scripture tells us that after these men saw what Jesus had done and said, people were like, this is truly a prophet who has come to this world. The men said this because Moses had talked about this during his time. Moses said to his people in Deuteronomy 18:15, the Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like him. Just like Moses provided, gave manna, now Jesus is providing bread. And they're just saying, Jesus, he's got to be the king. He's the king that was promised to us. Jesus said, in today's vernacular, I've got to bounce. He says, I've got to leave. He says in verse 14 that he knew that they were perceiving what they knew what they were to that they were come to take him by force to be the king. And he's like, I've got to get out of here. Jesus knew that people trusted him, but they trusted him in a worldly manner. It was all about what they could gain, right? Oh, remember, I've been with you, Jesus, for a long time. Remember when you fed all of us? You're the king. You rock. They wanted a visible earthly king. And that night, the disciples decided to launch the boat. And Jesus was still there on the mountains by himself on the mountainside. They went out into the boat, and after a time or two, the wind started picking up. And they started getting worried. Like, oh, geez, we're going to capsize. And they started worrying. What's going to happen? And we read in the 19th verse where it says, and they had rowed out for 9 miles, and they saw Jesus walking on the sea and coming near the boat, and they were frightened. And what always gets me, Jesus does something miraculous, and then all of a sudden, people like all of a sudden lose faith. I don't get it. He just fed 5,000 people. Come on. He just fed 5,000 people. How can he not want to? How would he not be there when you're on a boat with the winds blowing and pushing you, as it would say biblically, to and fro, back and forth? I think sometimes we're like those disciples. We forget all the great things he's done for us, how he's blessed us. And when something comes up, we're like, oh no, what do we do now? Have you forgotten what he did for you yesterday? Have you forgotten what he did that morning when he went like, breathe? Did you forget when you woke up, you went like this, and then you put one foot out like this? And maybe you went like this. You walked. Did you forget about that? Come on. If he's concerned about the little things in your life, why would you not be concerned about the big things in your life? And you need to trust him. Let me close with this. If you trust in yourself, and slow yourself, you're surely to be doomed. I'm just telling you. If you think you're all of that and you're not, you try to do things all on your own, you'll be disappointed. I would say, be careful in your friends that you choose and trust, because your friends might disappoint you too. If you trust in money, well, you may lose your money or have it taken from you. So don't trust in having a lot of coin. Don't put all your trust in reputation, because somebody is always out, it seems, to slander you. But there's one thing I want you to know, that I want you to leave here with. But if you trust in God, you'll never be confused in the time, in this time or in eternity. You will have him forever and ever with you. You can trust in him. He loves you. He loves you a bunch. His love is authentic. It's real. And that kind of love, his kind of love, friends, you can trust. Heavenly Father, this morning, my prayer is that we would trust you like a child trusts you. That we would be willing to give any and everything to you and trust in you, that you would take care of us, that you would provide for us. Father, I know that there are times in my life, and I would venture to say in other people's life, where there are some seasons, there are some storms, and we're just like, man, how am I going to get through this? And if we would simply just trust in you, the peace of mind that we would have in trusting you, oh, how much better it will be to navigate those storms. And saying, okay, God, you're the captain of this ship. You navigate. I'm here for the ride. I know you're going to get us across. And I know you're going to get us there safely. And so, Father, for those who are in a storm, I pray for them right now. I pray for those who are in a storm. And, Father, for those who are out of the storm, thank you. I pray that they've thanked you for the storm that you just brought them through. I think so often we just call on you but never thank you. And so I thank you for being our captain and weathering us through the storm. Father, God bless and keep those here. In your name I pray. Amen.